Seattle, Portland, LA, San Fran, San Diego, Scottsdale, Phoenix. This is Kay Wynn.
And Big Ben.
And we are Western Standard Time. WSD Podcast. We're everywhere online. Podbean, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. What do we talk about, Ben?
We got all sports, NBA, NFL, MLB, Pac-12, WCC. If it's on the West Coast, we got you covered.
You know what else we got you covered? A little lifestyle, a little fun, a little banter to lighten up your day. There are five-minute life guides.
So whether you live in Seattle, Kansas City, Frisco, Texas, Boston, Worcester, Florida, and you love West Coast sports, make sure you follow us and download us. New episode every Friday.
Every week, we're going to give you a Pac-12 pick'em, but we're also going to give you the Pac-12 player of the week. In some weeks, we're even going to have a guest picker. Email us, DM us, give us your case on why you should be our celebrity guest picker. So is WST, Kay Wynn, Big Ben. How's it going?
It's going great. The UCLA fight song this morning as we kick off Pac-12, a full week of week one, some interesting matchups. We'll do a pick'em. You and I think I'll remain, I am the returning champion.
Barely.
Whoa. I think you had a negative. You had a horrible record last year, if I recall.
It's a new year. It's a clean slate. I'm ready to win this.
All right. We have to note that the Pac-12 is currently 0-1. Tough loss for Arizona down in Hawaii.
An embarrassing loss. They gave up 45 points over 600 yards.
Hawaii always puts up big points. I know. I mean, and then the first game, you're going out there. You're 3 hours behind. You're a little throwing off. You're doing luows the night before. Maybe you had one too many Miami Vices. Khalil Tate showed well.
Pigs. You show up to the game, you are a stuffed pig. You can't run and cover the flat.
You're exactly right. The pig roast with the banana leaves.
The U of A defense got roasted.
Oh, wow. But in Tate's defense, over 300 yards passing, over 100 yards rushing. You were exactly right in how he was going to be leveraged this year under Sumlin. He's going to be given more freedom. He's going to put up big numbers. If they surprise some people, I think he stays within this Heisman conversation.
I agree. We've said it all along. The offense is going to put up big numbers, but the key is going to be the defense. If they're going to do anything in the South and on a national stage.
So let's get into this week's. Let's go down starting from our Thursday night games. I love Thursday night. There's games Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, full slate. You know what's interesting is we got four games on ESPN.
We as in the Pac-12?
The Pac-12 has four games. We've got four in the Pac-12 network. We got one on FS1. Auburn, Oregon will be covered by ABC. Stanford, Northwestern will be covered by Fox. So big day on the couch all 3 days. I guess you got a night game. You got a 4 p.m. kickoff.
I'm at a wedding. I'm going to be the guy with sitting in the back by the buffet looking streaming at his phone, streaming content. Drinking a White Claw.
Hey, you do what you got to do.
Yes.
All right, let's start with UCLA at Cincinnati. That's at Nippert Stadium. Cincinnati's undefeated versus the Bruins all time.
Wow.
1-0.
Hey, the big one win.
And shout out to Joel DuBlanco, linebacker. You know why I give him a shout out?
Why is that?
Only guy on the Cincinnati roster from the West Coast, Aberdeen, Washington, where my father played football.
Big shout out to Aberdeen. Yeah,
Grays Harbor Community College, I believe. So Joe DuBlanco for the Bearcats. Michael Warren coming back this season. He put up over 1,300 yards rushing, had 19 TDs for the Bearcats. Another 232 yards receiving with another touchdown. Bearcats look pretty good this year. And again, Chip taking his team to Cincinnati. How do they travel? Who knows? Hopefully they're not like the basketball team and, you know, try to go get a 500 discount at a local mall.
That's only in Japan.
That's only if your last name is Balto.
Yep.
What's your take on the game? Does DTR come out firing?
Cincinnati coach Luke Fickell entering his third year with the program on the rise. They went 11-2 last year. On the other side of the ball, DTR, sophomore quarterback for UCLA. He's got playmakers around him with Josh Kelly and Kazmir Allen. But Cincinnati hasn't lost an opener since 2001. I'm going Cincinnati over UCLA 24-17.
Wow. Okay. I agree with you. I believe it's a little closer. When I say a little closer, just a field goal closer. I'll go 21-17. The Bearcats win. There's not a ton of offense, I believe, in early weeks. That was somewhat of an anomaly down in Hawaii for Arizona, Hawaii. Always put up big numbers down in Hawaii. I got the Bearcats winning as well, 21-17.
Now, is Nick Cronin, the former Bearcat basketball coach, current UCLA basketball coach, is he going to show up the stadium with a split hat?
Split jersey? I don't know. That's something to watch out for. So Bearcats roll on both ends. Arizona State versus Kent State. Have you seen Kent State's coach?
No.
Sean Lewis, second year guy. He's got a bros beard. Solid beard. He's Golden Flashes out of Kent State. You know, the recruiting, they're not exactly in the recruiting hotbed. Woody Barrett's there at QB. Interesting name, Woody. Rushdie is putrid. In my opinion, Eno, Trace Dose, Eno runs all over the Golden Flashes. This used to be a layup game for the Huskies. Kent State used to come in and Huskies would roll them 72-0. I don't see anything different as Kent State comes into Tempe. I got the Sun Devils big with their freshman QB, who is slated to potentially be a freshman All-American. Yeah, so big first game for him. They bring in a cupcake. They win 42-7.
I agree with you. True freshman Jalen Daniels makes his collegiate debut. Kent State's defense last year was the worst in the MAC. And this year, they're not going to have enough to stop Eno Benjamin. Arizona State throws a little, runs a lot. They run all over the Golden Flashes. 35-10, A-State forks up.
Forks up. Marv and Big Herm. Get him rolling early. All right. On to the holy war.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
The religious war. I looked at some comments last night around Utah and BYU. It is not a friendly rivalry.
No, they don't like each other.
Only 90, Provo's only 90 minutes from Salt Lake City. So this game's being played at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And it's the 100th meeting all time. Yeah, so Centennial Mark, whatever you want to call it, the Beehive Bowl, or the Beehive Cup, I believe is what it's referred to. But Utah has won 8 in a row in this series, which I think is the longest winning streak for the Utes.
I think you're right.
Zach Wilson returns at quarterback, but here's the thing for BYU. He was sacked 23 times last year. Ooh, so unless the offensive line is drastically improved against this formidable Utah defense, who many think is a top five defense in the country, I think he's getting a third away to that mark by the end of Friday night.
Oh.
I see Zach Wilson's going to be on his back quite a bit. A comment from Alex Smith for the Utes. I really hate them. Playing in the game helped me understand. They are the most arrogant people. It's a whole church and state thing. They think they're good kids. We're bad kids. Didn't feel my gut yet that year. Utah actually completed their undefeated season by beating BYU that year. So again, a lot of history in this game. The difference is a D. The Utes come in and win 28-7.
Ooh, I like that. Last year, did you see that game? Rivalry game? BYU was up 27-7. The Utes came back and won 35-7. This year, it's not going to be as close. Too much Zach Moss. He's going for 100 yards, a couple touchdowns, and the Utah defense is going to be too much. I agree with you. Utah wins big, 35-10.
Oof. That's a joyous bus ride back to Salt Lake City for the Utes. And you were right. You know what? In reviewing our last episode, it's Kyle Whittingham, not Willingham. I'm sure he doesn't want to come from the Willingham tutelage. Singing out Ty led the Dogs to an 0-12 season about 10 years back.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the kind words.
Yes, absolutely. You want to get to the Rocky Mountain Showdown?
Friday Night Lights. Colorado State plays University of Colorado at Sports Authority Field in Denver.
Let's call it Mile. It's Mile High. Can we call it Mile High?
No way. They changed it. Get it out with the old, in with the new.
Really? Sports Authority Stadium? I thought Sports Authority went bankrupt and closed all their stores.
Hey, if we say Sports Authority a couple more times, we might pick up a sponsorship.
We'll get some old hockey gloves that they still have sitting around sent to us.
Exactly.
All right. This is Colorado's on a four-game winning streak. Mike Bobo, interesting enough, coach at Colorado State, actually declined a $100,000 raise because he was so disappointed in how the team played last year.
Wow.
Very humble guy. If you tried to give me a $100,000 raise with the rate at which I've been performing, I would gladly take that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd decline that either.
He's still making $1.8 million a year. The interesting West Coast connection here, and tied to UW, KJ Carter-Samuels out of Saratoga, California, UW transfer, leads the Rams. He won't have his top target. Preston Williams is gone to the NFL, who surprisingly enough is playing well for the Dolphins, undrafted free agent. KJ is not going to have anyone to throw to. I think the Buffs put up a lot of points early in the season with your connection, who you'll probably get into. Although it's a rivalry game, so I still see it being somewhat close. I got the Buffs 28-21 in a win for the Pac-12.
Nice. Well, the Mel Tucker era begins for the Colorado Buffaloes. Doing a little research, he was the Georgia defensive coordinator, helped the Bulldogs win the SEC title in 2017, get back to the championship game in 2018. The Buffs are going to come out strong. You're going to see a real focus on defense this year. You said it before. Buffs have won four straight. Let's make it five. Colorado 28-10.
Ooh. All right. So we agree on all four to this point. And we'll get into OSU versus OSU. You know what's funny? These programs are very similar. Colors, obviously. Both state schools.
The end of acronyms this year, the records won't be similar.
That's true. So, obviously, Oregon State in the Pac-12 North, many predicted finish last. Similar to you and I, picking them to not finish with more wins than they had the previous year at 2-10. Oklahoma State picked to finish in the middle of the pack in the Big 12. I believe it's South. And the funny part is the Big 12 only has 10 teams.
Yeah.
But you know what is another commonality? Both schools produce great wideouts. Oklahoma State, James Washington, currently with the Steelers. Justin Blackman, don't know where he is at this point. Then Dez Bryant. For the Beavs, you got Brandon Cooks, Marcus Wheaton, Chad Ochocinco, and TJ Houshmandzadeh. Mike Gundy and his mullet, in my opinion, will roll over the Beavs in a very, very tight one in Corvallis. You're going to hear the chainsaw, probably a good – they'll get into the double digits, but they still lose 28-24. Oklahoma State gets back to Stillwater with a win in a tight one.
I wish you could see my notes. It says, OK State, 14-10, next game.
All right, so we both got OK State, you in a tighter one, 14-10. I guess I got 24-21?
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on to Saturday.
Big day, four games in the Pac-12 on Saturday. Excuse me, six games. Starting with a noon kickoff, Husky Stadium, Eastern versus UW.
Ooh.
It's a big one for UW. This is the third time ever they've been playing. And the last two were very, very close. The most recent one, I believe, was back in 2014 in a 59-52 thriller. That was when, who was the quarterback that transferred to Oregon the year after? It seems like Eastern produces these quarterbacks similar to Gabriel Brute, who then transfer the previous Masoli, I think it might have been. Anyway, third time ever. The Eastern Washington Eagles are ranked number 3 in the FCS in early preseason rankings. This isn't going to be a layup for Coach Peterson and Mr. Eason, who comes out in his first start ever for his new, his hometown team, the UW Huskies. Some interesting facts. Eric Berriere is out of Inglewood, California. He's the top quarterback for, or he's the starting quarterback for the Eastern Washington Eagles. Cooper Kupp's little brother, Kenter, is a linebacker for the Eagles out of Cheney. Looking at the game, it's going to be another close one. I'll take the Huskies 31-24.
Nice. Yeah, I was looking at this. Eastern plays UW tough. This is not going to be a cakewalk. UW returns 9 of their top 10 pass catchers from last season. But Jacob Eason is going to struggle early to find his rhythm in the new offense. The Huskies win, but I think it's going to be close. 28-21, Dogs.
You and I are thinking very similar this morning.
I know. You want me to lead off Stanford?
Go for it.
Northwestern at Stanford. No Bryce Love. No J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. No problem. K.J. Costello's got some new weapons. Colby Parkinson at tight end, and your boy, Osiris St. Brown, the middle brother of the St. Brown brothers.
Right, the, really? Yeah. A lot of that's St. Brown's in the Pac-12.
And their older brother went to Notre Dame, and he's playing for the Packers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they're a great wide receiving family.
Jeez, yeah.
But I back to K.J. Costello. He was the only Cardinal quarterback to pass for more than 3,000 yards since 2011 in Alex Luck. Stanford's going to win this. KJ's going to be my new dark horse for Heisman. Stanford wins 17-10. Get on the KJ train. Let's go.
Wow. Did you just – sorry. That was a good statement, and I like the enthusiasm, but did you just say Alex Luck?
I might have. It's
you
early.
Did. You converge Alex Smith with Andrew Luck. That's fine. Well, perfectly fine.
So I love excited it. About KJ, I skipped ahead and apparently said Alex Luck.
I need your score again.
17-10, and my apologies.
17-10, the Cardinal roll?
Yeah.
All right, this is taking place at the farm, on the farm. Stanford leads the all-time series 3-2-2, so played them tight. The Northwest, or the Wildcats, are going to be picked middle of the pack in the Big 12, 10 West. Last year, I would call them the ultimate underdogs. They were only favored in 5 games and won 9. They have a top 25 defense. They have 3 guys at over 100 tackles, I believe, and 2 guys with double-digit tackles for loss. That's going to prove trouble for Mr. Costello. Hunter Johnson is a transfer from Clemson who will start at quarterback for Northwestern. I'm going to call this the higher IQ cup. And I see Stanford winning it close, only because they're at home and only because they have a quarterback that's a little more tenured in the spot. I got them winning 21-17. Stanford in a close one.
Nice. I like that. We're on the same page.
Let's get into UC Davis versus California. If you don't know a lot about UC Davis, which I didn't, they lost to Eastern Washington in the FCS semis last year. They sling it. So their Jared Harrell is their top QB coming back. Jake Mayer, not John Mayer, but Jake Mayer, maybe related, threw for nearly 4,000 yards last year for UC Davis. So this is nothing. This isn't an easy opener. This is in-state. I wouldn't call it a rivalry, but again, it's going to be a test for Mr. Wilcox's defense. Why don't you give me your breakdown? Well, I contemplate what I'm going to tell you on the
UC
score.
UC Davis, Big Sky, up-and-coming program. They usually play Cal, Stanford, sometimes some other Pac-12 teams, and they play them tough. This is going to be a grind-out. Justin Wilcox. We'll have the Bears ready. Right now, the Bears defense is dominating. Their offense is a little behind. But Chase Garber, quarterback for the Bears, is going to pace the Golden Bears with two touchdowns, and they're going to win 24-21 over UC Davis.
In a tight one, huh?
Yeah.
I don't see anything much different. Here's a funny thing. The over-under is at 50. I think last year the Bears were 3-10 on the over-under, so meaning they never hit the over.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, this game doesn't get – I mean, you're not going to see much offense in my opinion. The Cal defense, the upfront pressure is going to be too big. I think that's the difference between an FCS and FBS. It's just the talent up front in the front seven. Yeah. And I think you're going to see that displayed. Wilcox is going to put a ton of pressure on Mr. John Mayer, Jake Mayer, and put up potentially double-digit sacks. I would love to see coming in the next week, we'll have to look at who has more sacks, Utah or Cal. It's going to be a close one. I think the game, it's going to be way under. I see the Bears winning 21-7.
I like it. I was trying to think of a John Mayer song and kind of weave it in to say something funny, but I couldn't do it.
Body is a Wonderland. Is that one?
UC Davis backfield to Wonderland.
All right. Do we want to do a drum roll? Do we want to hold off on the marquee game of the week?
Well, aren't we going to talk about your Cougs?
Well, we can get in the Cougs, but I thought in looking at this schedule, we were going to go sequentially down the line. But if you want to get in the Cougs and finish up with the marquee game, I'm okay with that as well.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So New Mexico State, if you guys don't follow the bottom 10 in ESPN, it's pretty comical. And New Mexico State, actually the entire state of New Mexico, so both New Mexico State and New Mexico, their football programs are consistently in that. They have Josh Adkins coming back at quarterback, but they'll be up in the Palouse. Anthony Air Gordon era will start for the Cougs.
Yeah, yeah.
The Cougs' first game is always a little touchy, no matter who we're playing. In, I think, 3 years, Matt and I were talking about this last night. It's never easy out of the gate for the Cougs. Obviously, we're air raid trying to figure out route trees and so on. I still see the Cougs winning, not necessarily big, but they send New Mexico State back to their state in a state of demise as they win 31-14.
Wow. Cougs are favored by 31, I believe. New Mexico State and Josh Adkins, I don't think they have enough. I think the Cougs win. I think Anthony Gordon throws for four touchdowns. Cougs win 35-10.
Four touchdowns, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Anthony Air Gordon. All right. Let's get into another in-state rivalry. Cyrus, he gone. Transfer portal. He started a game for last year for Helton, and then they put him in four-string quarterback.
Well, USC, they get transfers. They get top athletes. It's just tough luck, I guess.
I feel like if you're in sales, one quarter you're the sales rep of the month, and then three quarters later you're fired without a job.
No, you're like a billing rep doing admin.
You're demoted to mailroom.
Yeah.
USC is 2-1 all time against Fresno State. The guy you're going to see a lot of for Fresno State is not Jerry Rice, but Jared Rice. He's a 6'5 tight end for the Bulldogs. He's the lone, I'd say, marquee guy coming in terms of your skill players. Keyshawn Johnson, their primary receiver last year, is now playing for the Cardinals, showing some promise. This is an iffy game for me. I won't you do your breakdown, and I'll tell you what I think plays out here.
All right. Fresno State lost 13 starters from their 12-2 team. To make matters worse, they lost their star running back, Jordan Mems, with an ankle injury. But Fresno State has Jeff Tedford, who is the quarterback whisperer. He develops them all. He's developed Aaron Rodgers, Kyle Bowler, Trent Dilfer, one of the Carr brothers. I don't know. You get the picture. The next guy he has, who he's going to hand off the keys to his offensive kingdom, senior quarterback Jorge Reyna. High-scoring game, a lot of octane. Who's going to win? I got USC opening up the United Airlines Field with a 35-28 win over Fresno State. Fight on.
Dun, 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 dun. JT Daniels, I think, like Costello, is a dark horse Heisman candidate, in my opinion. Now it's all about what he does with ASB. What's the other?
Amaron St. Brown.
There we go. Amaron St. Brown. I believe it's ARSB is what I would refer to. So JT to ARSB. We're going to see that a lot early on. The Fresno State defense can't keep up. Secondary with the marquee receiver out of the Pac-12, who, again, if JT can hook up with him, might get into the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year conversation, depending on how that plays out. I got the Trojans winning. I'll give them 31-14. Fresno State gets off to a tough start with the new quarterback.
We're all tied.
We are. Well, you're not going to put much distance, or I'm not going to put much distance on
week
you.
Week one's a watch.
All right, marquee game.
Game of the weekend. Not only in the Pac-12, but nationally.
So this is, do you know AT&T Stadium can hold 100,000 people?
Wow.
100,000. The house that Jerry built.
Jerry Vision.
He left a hole in it so God could watch the Cowboys, I think was this. The statement was made.
I like that.
So the SEC is 73-42 all time against the Pac-12. If you're listening and you're a Pac-12 fan, you probably recognize this is the second matchup between Oregon and Auburn. The first matchup taking place in the BCS title game in 2011, where Wes Burnham hit a field goal as time expired, and Cam Newton and Michael Dwyer, who is the championship game MVP for the Auburn Tigers, were victorious. So Ducks went down. I believe this was their only, I would call it, maybe I didn't go that back that far, but the only BCS title game for the Ducks. So there is a revenge aspect going on. Cristobal versus Gus Malzahn, who's currently on the hot seat in Auburn. Why don't you kind of dive in here and I'll continue with mine and I'll give you my pick afterwards.
It's a statement game for the Pac-12. Pac-12 has been left out of the college football playoff for the past 2 years. They got to start strong. They've got to beat Auburn. But in my mind, this is the battle of the polar opposites. You've got Oregon, senior quarterback and one of the best quarterbacks in college football, Justin Herbert. On the Auburn side, you have true freshman quarterback making his collegiate debut, Bo Nix. Oregon's led by their offensive line, Shane Lemieux and Calvin Throckenmorton. Auburn has a suffocating defensive line with Derek Brown, Marlon Davidson, and Nick Cole. The Pac-12's kicking around. 9 a.m. breakfast starts. The SEC is kicking around the Pac-12, like Ben mentioned. 73-42 over the Pac-12. Something's got to give. Who's going to win? I've got the Ducks, 28-1. Let's go.
28-21?
Yeah. Cam Ooh. Newton, Barkley, and Bo Jackson are going to be crying on the sidelines.
I bet you they're on the sideline. I bet you Cam is on the sideline in his boot just so he gets some attention.
Is Cam wearing a romper? Like it's Coachella?
Potentially. He'll have sunglasses on. We all know that. So you're right. Bo Nix, he's preseason All-American, freshman All-American, along with Jaden Daniels out of ASU, so you shouldn't discount. He's out of Pinson. He's a hometown kid.
His dad played for Auburn, was a quarterback. Bo grew up dreaming of this.
Yep, a big time game for him. Out of Malzahn's putting a lot of weight on him. Again, somewhat of an unknown, obviously. First game, big game for him. I wouldn't say it might have SEC title implications, but again, you're right. As this game goes, both teams go. Malzahn's on the hot seat. A lot of pressure. You don't necessarily play well under pressure. He's going to probably put Bo Nix in some difficult situations. Oregon's got a lot of veteran leadership on their team, including Herbert, who you mentioned. Senior quarterback wins. My crystal ball says crystal ball rolls.
Yeah. They
bring back a win to Eugene. Oregon starts their national title hopes, their national title run. Oregon wins 31-17.
I like it. We're all on the same page.
We are. It's and we're probably wrong.
Yeah.
I doubt that, actually. Yeah. I think the Pac-12 is going to show well. It's interesting as we look through these games. There are, you know, there's some rivalry games. There's some, you know, we're playing, you got to, obviously, Cincinnati is out of the MAC. Do they play out of the MAC?
No, they're the American.
So you got some, you know, cross-conference games going on. You got the Big 12 playing the Pac-12 with Oklahoma State and Oregon State. You got the Big 10 in Northwestern, SEC versus, you know, Oregon. And then Fresno State, obviously, out of the, I believe it's the WAC. So a lot of interesting matchups. But I think it's an opportunity. If the Pac-12 shows us well, I hope they do. If they win, let's call it 11 out of the 12. Well, we've already lost to Hawaii in that regard. But if we win 10 out of 12 this week, it helps the conference long term.
It helps the conference. It gives everyone confidence. And we've got to show up on the big stage. Let's go, Ducks.
It's interesting. And we'll wrap here. So let's recap. Let's recap our picks here. So, and then I'll kind of summarize. I believe it's, we got.
Here's the recap. You and I, everyone that I picked, Ben copied my picks.
UW, Stanford, USC, Cal, Oregon, Wazoo. And then we got Cincinnati beating UCLA, the only Pac-10 loss or Pac-12 loss we agree on. ASU winning, Utah winning, the Buffs winning, but we also have Oregon State losing. So we forecasted 9 out of the 11 games, Pac-12 wins. That's not too shabby. And I say this because if that happens, or we'd like to ideally all 11 win, because these are the games that, you know, the college football playoff, the playoff committee looks at.
Yeah.
Like in terms of strength of schedule, if we win games early on, these other teams do well in their conference play, they look at it and say, well, you know, Stanford beat Northwestern, who's a, you know, upper echelon potentially, you know, Big Ten team. And, you know, you look at Oregon, who beat Stanford, maybe at Stanford or whatever it plays out. These have a lot of weight in those types of conversations. So Pac-12 needs to roll here.
They do.
Let's go, Ducks.
Let's go, Ducks. And every week we're going to give you a Pac-12 pick'em, but we're also going to give you the Pac-12 player of the week. In some weeks, we're even going to have a guest picker. Email us, DM us, give us your case on why you should be our celebrity guest picker.
Who do you want to make a prediction on who your Pac-12 player of the week is going to be this week?
I'm going Herbert. He's going big.
You think? I think it's going to be Thibodeau.
I like that.
Yeah. True freshman making a big impact on the big stage. He has 2 tackles for loss, go along with a sack, and 8 tackles overall. Thibodeau is going to make his name known down in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium.
All right.
WST Podcast. This is your Pac-12 pick'em for week 1. Arizona already lost in Hawaii, but we're going to rebound over the next couple days here with a kickoff matchup of UCLA at Cincinnati starting at 4 p.m. Pacific, and we'll wrap with USC at Fresno State at 7:30. So big game, big week for Pac-12, Big Ben, K-Win.
Follow us. Tweet at us at WST_podcast. We're everywhere you want to go to listen to your podcast. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, we're everywhere. And you know what's next weekend, the 7th? It's WST Game Day in Seattle. Cal Bears play UW. We'll be broadcasting live from Hodges' boat.
I love it. Boom.
Boom.